When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rushing of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. You all seem really far away, so there are really nice comfy seats at the front. So if you do want to be closer, do come forward and we can go from there. I just feel that someone may have had a really difficult week this week, and that God is saying that you are a diamond in his eye. I feel that's really important to say that. If that is you, I'd love to pray with you after today's service, and we'll go from there. I'm going to be completely honest that I feel that my sermon that I have planned for you today, we won't sort of do. We'll just see what happens, okay? Is that okay? After all, it is Pentecost today, right? Well, it's not Pentecost. We're a little bit late, but we're looking at Pentecost today. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, will your fire come today? And purify us in your sight, Lord, as you already have done. May your Holy Spirit come and reign down on us today. Let us see a new thing happen today, Lord, something that we do not expect to happen. May our expectations go. May our eyes and ears be open to what you are saying, and the things of this past melt away. In Jesus' name, amen. So today we are looking into the profound book of Acts, penned by Luke himself. The scripture is a testament to the post-resurrection era where Jesus gathers his disciples and instructs them to remain in Jerusalem, awaiting a significant event. Our recent sermons have been centered around this theme of holy waiting, patiently, with anticipation in prayer. Now, that's a long time after Jesus' death and resurrection that the disciples are called to regather, wait, and pray. They have no really idea of what the events are going to happen. And so, if you like, I'm certainly glad, but the wait is over. And what looks to unfold in Scripture becomes a fulfillment. It becomes the fulfillment of what John is saying in the Holy Spirit will baptize with fire, and the old prophet Joel said the outpouring of the Holy Spirit will come. So there is a fulfillment continuing of Scripture. As these Scriptures are being fulfilled, it is Pentecost. Pentecost meaning there are loads of people gathered in Jerusalem, all different languages, for the first harvest. It's 50 days after Passover. That is a significant moment in time. God's timing here is absolutely perfect. And so let's see what happens. A revolution starts where Adam and Eve, if you like, God was with them. He walked with them. When sin entered the world, they were separated. This is the moment where God dwells with his people in their hearts. The curtain has been torn, and the Holy Spirit is living inside every one of those disciples. And so I take great comfort in this, because the disciples are a bunch of numpties, if you like, who get a lot of stuff wrong. But when the Holy Spirit comes, transformation happens. Not only in their lives, but also a global transformation happens. So a revolution of God becoming intimate with his beloved creation. The disciples go from following Jesus, asking perhaps what we would describe as silly questions, even questioning sometimes Jesus, to them becoming active, effective communicators. New wine is being poured out onto them, and they don't even know how thirsty they are. What actually happened is that they spoke in languages that they didn't know, they hadn't learned, and they fluently spoke them. And there were lots of people gathered in Jerusalem, and they heard the good news being preached from their mouths, the power of God. Tongues, if you like, as the plural word might suggest, multiple of tongues. It doesn't mean that the disciples grew multiple tongues. It meant that they could speak different languages. And so when the Holy Spirit came, they couldn't previously speak them languages, and they did. And loads of people heard of what the good news is. Now we know from this single event, the church in Rome and Ephesus, modern-day Turkey, were born because people gathered in that event heard the cry of the disciples with the gift of tongues, and they heard God's power and message being preached. That single event was transformational, that they then took it back to their own place where they lived and established a place of worship. I think sometimes when we see transformation happen, it is the most beautiful sight. There have been some Christians, when I was a youth worker, and there'd be young Christians who would become Christians and see their life completely transformed. It is always such a beautiful privilege to watch. A friend of mine, he was a teenager at the time, and he's a cheeky chap. He's a Jack the Lad, so to speak, had lots of girlfriends, went to parties, liked to drink, had the girlfriends, you name it, even had a promising film career. One night he decided to take his moped out, brand new moped out, and he lent it, I can't remember the exact story, but he lent it to someone and they crashed it, or it got stolen and it got crashed. Either way, he was extremely angry that this brand new hairdryer moped crashed and was ruined and could not be used. And that night he bumped into Christians who were in the park serving hot chocolate to teenagers. And he bumped into them, and at that moment his life was transformed. He decided to give everything up, including his film career, to follow God. His life completely transformed in ways that we didn't see coming. I don't know about you, but when you've been listening to the Holy Spirit, have you seen God move in ways that you expected? I certainly haven't. God has always shocked me every single time when he moves. One thing that I've noticed when we want to move forward and we want to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying and we go out, and when one thing that holds us back, I've noticed, is where we get caught up and we listen to the lies of the enemy, where we are told that we are unclean, that we are told that we are not loved, not worthy, that we're not good in God's own sight. Words that are completely and utter lies and rubbish. If they were true, then the God, Holy Spirit, would not be dwelling inside you, because God cannot be with sin. You are made clean, you are made worthy, you are made all of them things because of what Jesus has done on the cross. And if Jesus can pick 12 numpties and use them to change and transform the world, then he definitely will choose and use you. The question that we now need to ask ourselves is, are you willing? Are you willing? In Matthew 8, there's a story of a leper. And he is completely rejected in society because he has leprosy. Now, of course, in them days, leprosy was a disease that covered a multitude of diseases. And if he was approaching anyone, he would have to call out, "Make way, I'm unclean." He wouldn't be allowed to go to Tesco's. He wouldn't be allowed to come here to worship God. He wouldn't be allowed to go anywhere public. And he didn't have anyone to stick up for him. And yet he went up to Jesus and said, "If you are willing, if you choose, make me clean." Notice here, he wasn't asking to be healed. He was asking to be made clean. That's a very clear distinction. Being clean is being made whole, being made seen, being part of society, and of course brings healing. He was asking to be made clean. What Jesus has done for all of us on the cross, he has made us clean in God's sight. Sin does not define who you and I am anymore. And yet it still acts like it does. The world often likes to tell us that we are defined by sin. What defines us is who our relationship is with, and that is with God. So there are two things there. You are made right in God's sight. And two, we need to be willing to be used by God to go out and to bless other people. because the story and the experience that you have all been through could really bless someone who's currently going through that right now. And that what God has done in your life is a testimony to what they need to hear to have the faith to carry on. Why don't you turn to the person next to you, get in twos or threes if you can, and talk about the number one thing that stops you from stepping out in faith and listening to God. Okay? So if you could get in groups of twos and threes and talk about that very quickly, and then we will hear back from that. Okay, is that okay with everyone? So you need to get in groups of twos and threes. What stops you from stepping out and listening to God? Okay, if you could start to very quickly round up. Has anyone, obviously don't share in any detail, but is there any maybe examples of briefly what people might struggle with at all? Well done.
Yeah, I guess just fear of looking stupid, yeah. or thinking that what I've got in my heart to share isn't from God.
Yeah.
And so I just sit on it and don't say it, and then actually feel worse. Like, whereas if I just stepped out and said it, that person would probably be encouraged, and I wouldn't feel like I'd missed an opportunity. So yeah. I'm trying to get better at just saying it,
yeah.
But I still get the fear to have to deal with, so
yeah. Great, thank you. And one second, and so that's a really important thing to talk about very briefly. So someone else just mentioned earlier about the uncertainty of what is going to happen, and again perhaps looking a little bit silly if things go wrong. Okay, so I wonder what the disciples would have done as such, where we can see very clearly in the Gospels that they just went out and did things. And yes, they made mistakes. And I think that's all part and partial of a parent-child relationship, that the child makes mistakes and that they learn from their mistakes, and then they grow up into an adult. The same way as us as Christians, that we need to have a go at things in order to learn from them and to have that faith to go and do it. If you make a mistake, does anyone get injured or hurt? No. So we just need to have the confidence and the faith to go and do that, yeah? Because like I said, the only thing that is going to hold us back from encountering and living out what God is calling us to do is ourselves and no one else. We're going to stop ourselves from doing that. Anyone else?
Well, I've been a Christian for many years, and I know what I believe in, and I know I love this, the Lord, my God, in an incredible way. But I don't want to share what I have, because if it doesn't come over right, and my what I'm saying makes them doubt, makes it worse. I need to know that what I want to say is coming out to them, and they can understand, not me, but who God is. That's what I really want.
Yeah. Being dyslexic, I really struggle sometimes with communication and get my thinking into words. And so sometimes I need to have 100% of a script, word by word, so I know what to say. And going and doing, talking now absolutely frightens me, because trying to get my words and thoughts into a kind of sentence or etc. The most important thing is that we don't actually speak from a script. The disciples didn't speak from a script, they spoke from the heart. And that's all we can do. If we speak to people who and we're running through like a program of what we've been trained to do, then there won't be an authenticity, and they will be able to see that very clearly. And so we need to speak from the heart, from our own experiences, in what God has moved and transformed through all of us. And go from there. Christina.
Okay, so I've been learning more about faith. From what I understand, faith or receiving from God is like undeserved favour and grace. Like, you don't have to earn what God does or gives you. We have it because of who God is, not because who I am.
Yeah.
That's my understanding.
Yeah.
But sometimes I feel like the church or other Christians kind of don't give out that message. They're like, we haven't earned that. Oh, you don't deserve it. Yeah. Or, oh, she's done this and she hasn't done that. Or, so it makes me feel like blocked stepping out in faith, because it's like, I don't think all Christians are supporting each other to receive more in their life, because they're like, comparing or something, yeah. Or saying, oh, she worked hard for that, she didn't, why she got that, and it kind of confuses me, because I thought that's not God, how God is.
Yeah, great, thank you. Yeah, so on that, us as a collective group of people, the church, the people, not the building, are completely messed up, the same as the people out there, everyone is. And it is by God's grace that we have been redeemed, and that we have been forgiven. That as a church, that is what we believe. That there is nothing what we can do, including the stuff that we haven't done, that can separate us from God. So that there is that grace for all of us. And that is the most important thing. So these are quite a few topics that we're talking about today that hold us back from serving one another. And that's when we need to be accountable to one another, in terms of, yeah, when we do slip up, we do need to say, hey, Adam, do you want to go for a coffee? I noticed that you mentioned this. I don't quite agree with you here. Perhaps, you know. And we do things in love. We walk alongside each other and support each other, because that's what we're here for. We're brothers and sisters, not to bring each other down, but to build each other up. That's really important. And it's important doing so, knowing that that we need to have our eyes and ears open to what the Holy Spirit is saying. It's like a radio station. You need to tune into the frequency. And you just need to practice about it. A friend of mine recently told me, because I asked her, she recently preached on Pentecost. See, this is a good reason why we're doing Pentecost a couple of weeks later. She said to me, she asked a few of her friends to focus on an object, because they said that they found listening to God really difficult. And so she said to them, pick an object and just stare at it and wait until God speaks to you about that object. And then when you get in the pattern of listening and discerning, then maybe use that on people, in terms of you may have a friend or a family member who is struggling with something. Just listen to what God wants to say to you. And you never know that God might ask you to do something to help that person out in a way. Because you may have a gift that he might give you to bless that person. Does that make sense? Yeah? Great. So what I'm saying here today is, be like the disciples on Pentecost. It has to be done in prayer, because prayer is our communication with God. If we're going and doing things in ministry and blessing other people without prayer, we're doing things in our own strength and not in God's. And so it's really, really important that we focus and listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying for us to do. Okay. Let's pray into that, and then we can go from there. Thank you. So it's really important that we never know that what God might say and use through you might bless one person or another person. As we've seen in the scripture on Pentecost, where hundreds of people were blessed that day, and two churches that we know of were established just because they heard of the disciples' faith and that they stepped out. And all the disciples were doing were just worshipping God. So when we go out, we're also worshipping God. And it's okay to make mistakes. Shall we pray? So Heavenly Father, will you come in your way to speak to our hearts today? Where you would give us the faith and the confidence in who you have made us to be in your sight. Will you give us the confidence in stepping out in faith? May we not come up with things that hold us back, but may we just give things a go. Holy Spirit, may our eyes and ears be open to what you are saying to do this week. In Jesus' name, amen.